This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. This is day three of the government shutdown. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers are furloughed. President Trump has said he is figuring out ways to fire them permanently. White House Budget Director Russell Vogt now saying that the administration will withhold $2 billion already earmarked for Chicago infrastructure projects. Earlier this week, $18 billion in infrastructure was also pulled from Blue State, New York. A shock in Southern California.
Sitting at home watching TV, and then all of a sudden it's kind of sounded like plane engines, almost a plane about to crash. And then a big whoosh, and the curtains all flipped up. The windows were slightly open. Almost felt like an earthquake because the house shook. So we didn't know what was going on.
Keith Moore, who lives next door to the Chevron refinery in El Segundo that burned overnight. New information about the Manchester synagogue attack. It's now believed one of the two people who died was shot and killed by police. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. There's a new candidate for state Supreme Court, the second to announce for the officially nonpartisan position that drew a record amount of spending in last spring's election. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley's term is up in 2027. Liberal appellate judge and former state representative Chris Taylor announced she would be running against Bradley. But then, about a month ago, Bradley announced she would not seek re-election. She called on conservatives to, quote, take stock of failures, identify the problem, and fix it. End quote. Liberal judges have won four of the last five Wisconsin Supreme Court elections. Now, a conservative contender is entering the race to replace her. Maria Lazar has been on the 2nd District Court of Appeals since 2022. She released her first campaign video this morning.
I am an independent, impartial judge who strives to follow the law and Constitution in every decision I make from the bench. It is time to restore that level of judicial dedication to the court. That is precisely why I have decided to run for the open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
The court currently has a 4-3 liberal majority. If a conservative candidate wins, that balance would stay the same. If a liberal candidate wins, the court would have a 5-2 liberal majority. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
State sales tax on utility bills are being eliminated for the next 2 years. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
The elimination of the 5% sales tax on residential utility bills is projected to save Wisconsin households more than $178 million over the next 2 years. No action is needed from residents to qualify for this change. Sales tax is being automatically removed from all household energy bills due to this bipartisan exemption included in the 2025-27 state budget.
Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Bring on the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs tomorrow, just after 1 p.m. in Game 1 of the best-of-five divisional series in Milwaukee. After being swept by the Yankees in New York at the start of the season, who would have thought the Brewers would set a franchise record of 97 wins on the way to winning their division? Pat Murphy.
No one expected this, to break the franchise record for wins. Would you have said that coming out of New York or after opening day here? It just shows you who's in the room.
The Brewers have had the past week off. Another workout session at the ballpark today. Are they ready now for the playoffs? Freddy Peralta will start for Milwaukee.
We just have to stay focused and keep doing what we've been doing, trusting in each other, just to remind us also that we never have to give up and keep going.
College football, the Badgers take on number 20th ranked Michigan in Ann Arbor. Kickoff tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, have you ever played a video game or seen an ad that says, play our game, we'll give you money? Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us to talk about whether or not that's true.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, Kristen, listen to this. Parker's going to introduce me. Here it comes.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from Nashville, in his hotel room, where he keeps on talking to himself.
I know, it's cool.
The founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's not just me. I got friends as well. And a cheery section.
You have
section.
Friends in low places.
I have a friend in low places. Not just because I was at the Garth Brooks bar by the same name last night, but because we've got all these boxes up on screen on social media, and Kristen's literally in the low place right now. Mm-hmm. But she is a friend just the same. Happy to have her here. Dr. Lyerly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning and happy Friday, baby. It is going to be such a beautiful weekend in Wisconsin. I think you got the short end of the stick being in Nashville this weekend.
It's as hot here as the Nashville chicken that they like to talk about. But
woo-wee! You know,
we'll somehow survive. They're talking about it down here too, how hot and dry it's been. But you know, we'll take one more summer weekend before the actual autumnal stuff gets here.
Yes,
but there's a lot of big doings this weekend. We've got the Brewers. We now know that they're going to be playing the Cubs in the National League Division Series. We know that Game 1 is going to be held on Saturday. We know it's a Saturday afternoon game, and that you can hear the pregame starting at 12:35 tomorrow afternoon on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. And we know that Game 2 at American Family Field will be a late game on Monday. First pitch won't be until after 8 p.m.
Oh.
So, set your Tuesday morning alarm accordingly, either a little later or a second and third alarm if need be. But that's just one of the big notes about this weekend. The other, of course, is that the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show has done blowed up and is going statewide, baby.
Woo! I'm so excited! Noon on Saturday, baby, all across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Look at that. Noon on Saturday, all across the network.
That's prime time. Wow.
I know. Jeez, yeah. That's bigger than this humble little show. This is so cool. So just remember us little people, Kristen, as you continue climbing the ladder here, okay?
Oh, this is going to be a good conversation, too. Dr. Laura Hanks, who was a frequent contributor on Jane's show, is joining me, and she's my colleague, Laura Hanks, at your cervix. It is Gyno Talk. We talk about the pause in abortion care in Wisconsin and contraception and all the stuff that you would expect two gynecologists to talk about. It is fun. It is fun.
Good. Well, yeah. It's fun, but you have to tackle some of that serious news, the ongoing threats to women's health, mm-hmm. like this, as you put it, this backdoor abortion ban that you see in Trump's big bloated boondoggle and the cutting of Medicaid to Planned Parenthood for, you know, non-abortion services, which is why Planned Parenthood is curtailing abortion care in Wisconsin, at least while this whole law is being challenged, which puts up a whole new set of challenges for women and for their physicians.
It makes it really hard. Importantly, Planned Parenthood continues to offer all of the other services that they offer. So if you go there for your pap test or STI screening or any of that stuff, they're still doing it. And there still is abortion care being offered in Milwaukee. Two independent clinics are offering care. But this is really, really devastating for the rest of the state. So one of my dear friends, Dr. Shefali Sharma, wrote an op-ed in the Wisconsin State Journal today, and it is so overdue. She asks the question, why are hospitals and doctors across the state not just providing this service as a routine service? Why is this not considered healthcare in our regular practice? And you know, when you think about it, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it, Pat?
No, I've never understood that we've stigmatized abortion care to the point where it has to be done in, you know, special clinics rather than just wherever it needs to be done. And it seems to me if you're providing health care, then provide health care, not just the health care that may or may not get you in trouble with some political factions.
Exactly. When you have a problem, you go to your doctor. Your doctor mm-hmm. listens to you. You talk about all the alternatives. You come up with a solution. You initiate a treatment plan. And then you follow through. You do the aftercare. You have that relationship. You have that trust. You do that with anything. But for some reason, abortion care isn't part of that. We need to bring it back into the realm of regular care that we provide our patients. So it's a wonderful op-ed. And it's what we're really going to be talking about a lot across the state in the months to come.
No doubt about that. But there's something else that's being talked about when it comes to reproductive rights and politics. And it is some comments that were made by Ezra Klein, podcaster, columnist, political analyst, widely respected in progressive circles, but really lost a little bit of that respect recently with comments first in writing and then written comments saying essentially that the Democratic Party, if it's going to win more elections, needs to be more welcoming to candidates who are Democratic and progressive, but favor limits on women's reproductive health care rights, which seems like a nasty bargain to win elections is to forego the rights of half the population, Kristen.
I see where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. I respect and appreciate his work. But when it comes to really fundamental rights for people, I don't know that there's room to bargain. And I know that he's saying, you know, when you put your flag in the sand and you say, this is the thing that we are not going to compromise on, then it makes it really hard to negotiate. We're seeing that right now with the government shutdown. I mean, the Republicans are saying, we're just not going to negotiate. And that is their negotiation standpoint. It makes it really challenging. But there are a lot of other things that you could be talking about in the general realm of what conservatives and liberals do. I think Ezra Klein's point is really poorly taken by people in the reproductive rights movement who recognize that this is a fundamental right. This is existential. Literally, this is about the future of women and the trajectory of our lives and our ability to make our own personal healthcare decisions. So anytime that a man makes a comment like this, when he can never be affected in a way like this, I think there are a lot of us that say, all right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate right. your opinion.
Right. And by the way, it also illustrates the paradox of being a progressive is that, you know, when you're a progressive, you stand for people's rights, all people's rights, more so than those who would prefer to limit certain people's rights. So what happens is those folks on the conservative side of things will attack somebody's rights. It might be abortion rights. It might be LGBTQ rights. Let's just take trans rights for a moment. And so when the people who are for protecting rights then defend those people against the bullying, against legislation and all that, what do you then hear? Oh, Democrats, all they ever talk about are trans people. This is just they don't stand for me. They just stand for, you know, this particular group. No, that's not true. But we're defending that particular group in this instance the way that we would defend you if you were the one whose rights were being limited. But too many people want to see defending rights of a group as meaning we're only involved with the special interest of that group rather than everybody's rights who should be defended.
Yeah, it really highlights the hypocrisy of the Republican Party, who are all about individualism and my rights and taking away government control, except for the things that they care about. You know, like it doesn't, if you look at it holistically, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So I don't think that this is the place where Democrats need to capitulate. I think that progressives need to continue to push to support each other in a very, collaborative, nurturing community, a elevating kind of way. And, you know, it gets tricky because it's hard. But I think the more that we stand up and make our voices heard and tell our stories and help people understand what this really means for us, the more progress we make.
In our last hour, Joan Esposito was talking to us about how the chatter, and that's all you can really say about it, when it comes to the government shutdown, is that there, and we've always known there are Republican members of Congress who do believe that the enhanced tax credits that help the Affordable Care Act stay affordable should not be allowed to expire at the end of this year, as they are currently scheduled to do. Donald Trump and congressional Republicans, they want them to expire. That's going to jack up healthcare costs for millions of people. The way that this shutdown most likely ends is that Trump or the Republicans agree to a 1 or 2 year extension of keeping health insurance more affordable. Do you share that level of optimism, if we can put that in quotation marks, about how a government shutdown will eventually end?
Hey, it's going to be hard, because you know that Donald Trump does not want to negotiate. This is the thing that he really prides himself on. But we're starting to see the letters come out. By the end of this month, people are going to have their renewal letters with their projected premium increases. And people are actually starting to see what their healthcare is going to cost. And they don't like it. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. This is something that Republicans did not plan for when they put this budget together. They thought that the pain was going to be after the midterms, but it's starting to happen now. Americans are starting to wake up and understand what's going on, and they don't like it.
Yeah, look, I'll take issue with one thing where you say he likes to negotiate. He likes to talk about negotiating. He's never actually negotiated anything in his first or second term as president to this point. And the reason you have that TACO acronym, Trump always chickens out, is because he does. First, he inflicts all this pain, and then he accepts something and claims victory over it. It's how the last government shutdown that he instigated in 2019 ended, when he said, "We're shutting down the government till I get more money for a border wall." And he didn't. Eventually, somebody moved a little pile of money from one basket to the other, and he claimed victory, even though it didn't really get him exactly what he wanted. And that, I think that's probably what's going to happen here too, Kristen, is he gets points for, you know, stomping his feet and throwing a tantrum, but ultimately he's not going to get near the things that he wants, because what the people want trumps that, pun intended, having healthcare you can afford.
You're exactly right. Okay, I misspoke. He's not great at negotiating. He's good at making you think he negotiated.
There you go.
He's great at marketing and selling you something. So I anticipate that something like that will happen. There will be some sort of a movement, and he will sell it as a huge victory for himself, and people will believe it because he's great at selling things.
Oh, yeah. And in the meantime, he will get to fire or furlough thousands upon thousands of good, hardworking Americans who are just trying to serve the public here. So we'll monitor throughout the weekend here. And hopefully, Kristen, when you're back here on Monday morning, we'll have some better news to share out of Washington, D.C. So now we know it's Brewers versus Cubs. And so that game will be on Saturday. The Packers have a bye week. So what does a girl do in Green Bay when the Packers have a bye week?
I think it's going to be yard work.
Yeah. Again with the yard work. Have you ever thought of apartment or condo life? You have so much yard work that you're doing all the time.
I love it.
Queen of mulch over here. So
I went and bought some Weed Begone yesterday. I usually don't like chemicals, but it's getting a little out of hand. So I like literally walked across my entire yard yesterday. I'm like 5 weeks after a knee replacement, but I just can't help it because it's so satisfying to like do it myself and take pride in how pretty. I think I'm turning into my dad.
Parker, we have to get a game board. We have to let the listeners chime in. I hate to say this, but I think we have to make the game official. At what point does Kristen send us a note from the hospital? Yeah, we have to go back and do the surgery again. Apparently, I overdid it, and they have to work on the knee again. Mm-mm. Kristen, don't make us play this game.
What's the over under on weeks to that point?
That's what we're saying is So Kristen, don't let us pick the under on this.
I had my post-op visit yesterday, and then I went to Menards and got the week.
They said I was doing okay, so now I'm going to go bike a marathon. Yeah, something like that. The Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show can now be heard statewide across the Civic Media Radio Network. Did you say Saturdays at noon?
Saturdays at noon and on Sunday mornings on our YouTube channel, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly on YouTube. There you go. Mike Clemens will be along before too long to talk to us about sports and the Brewers Cubs series. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt Nair on air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can stay up to date on everything that we cover at Up North News through our various newsletters, weekdays and weekends. Ellie's got a story in today's edition about how millions of birds have been migrating south for the winter and what to know about fall migration in Wisconsin as they stop by on their way to points south. And also note that she's starting a new Friday segment about, you know, some of your favorite small businesses in your hometown. It's called Locals Love. Send a photo of your favorite small business and tell her a little bit about it. Maybe it's a restaurant or a coffee shop. Maybe it's a cafe, a little locally owned clothing store, whatever it is. Get on our newsletter and then send a note back to Ellie about what you think should be our next small business highlighted on Fridays. Again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Kristen Lyerly continues with us now from the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show statewide, Saturdays at noon, starting tomorrow on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I assume still wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify yes. and such.
All of those places and YouTube, our YouTube channel.
That's right. And YouTube as well. Okay, back to the news, because, and again, this particular, yeah, I know. Thank you, Parker. Look, this particular audience gets it. So you're going, well, why are you bringing it up? Because you all talk to people, you all talk to your friends, and there, somebody there is going to echo the wildly racist thing that J.D. Vance, the vice president of the United States, said earlier this week about healthcare. In again, trying to defend why they're slashing Medicaid and Affordable Care Act subsidies, when he said something to the tune of, you know, if you need care in the ER and you see other people there in the waiting room and you know they're illegals and they're going to get care before you. And that's why we're doing the things that we're doing. And it's like, that is such grotesque racial profiling. You don't know if they're undocumented or if they're every bit the American citizen that you are. But more importantly, Kristen, I mean, who's J.D. Vance to say that ERs have to play favorites when somebody shows up at their doorstep bleeding?
It is unconscionable to me as a physician to listen to what he's saying, because when I took an oath to be a doctor, I took an oath to take care of people. And, you know, over 40 years ago, President Ronald Reagan signed a law called EMTALA that said that when somebody shows up in an emergency department, they get care. If you're having a heart attack, if you were in a car accident, if something terrible happened to somebody you love, they don't stop you at the desk and say, show me your papers. Also, we want to make sure that you can pay. They take you right back to the treatment room, evaluate you, get you the care that you need, because those seconds are life-saving. So there is no time and there's no reason to screen people in a way that J.D. Vance is suggesting. It is just not even ethical.
No. And one of our YouTube commenters actually brought that up earlier, saying Ronald Reagan passed a law in hospitals across America have to treat people no matter, you know, if they're here legally or not. So stop gaslighting. And then he says vote. And he puts Danny puts a little blue heart next to that. So people do get it. They do understand. But there are also just enough who hear somebody like a J.D. Vance say these ugly things and want to buy into it. They, for some reason, they want to believe it. And so we just wanted to make sure that we made the case that that is not the case
at all. Could I just say, though, it shows how desperate they are, because they're leaning more and more and more into these racial epithets. So
yes,
they are getting uglier and uglier. And the one other thing that I want to mention is there is one case when EMTALA does not apply, and that is if you need emergency abortion care and you live in Idaho. Women cannot get the care that they need, even if they're U.S. citizens.
Just continuing to go backwards here.
Just saying.
Some folks are either very inspired by your yard work or troubled by it. Alicia says, can you send your boys down to my place? My kiddos overdid it on credits this semester and haven't been able to do the lawn. Rob in Tigerton, who does these things for a living, says, I'm tempted to hire Kristen for my mowing jobs. So you got that going on. We also asked what you're up to this weekend, and Rob says Caroline Colorama is this weekend. Ooh. And Alicia apparently is going to a Gamblers game this weekend. So we're getting into that season as well. So maybe you can find something fun and recreational to do and not just yard work.
Like sit in the hammock in my beautiful yard.
Well, yeah. I get that. The yard work is done and you get to reward yourself. And yes, you should be able to do that. I totally understand. next week now, looking ahead.
Have my kids bring me a frosty beverage while I'm sitting in the hammock looking at my
beard. Yes. Do the kids, I mean, you do what you do, obviously, as a homeowner. And is it that the kids... What am I trying to say here? We had a daughter who I think intentionally wasn't so good with the lawnmower, knowing that one of the parents would be like, oh, just let me do it.
I got one of those too. He's in college now, though, so I don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and I know there's the part of me that should have been more like, nope, do it again and do it right. But it's just like, I'm more of a fixer. I'm more like, just give it to, I'll do it.
You know, you would be really proud, because my youngest son, who is the little version of you, little Pat Kreitlow, he has actually got it down to a science. So my backyard looks like a baseball field.
Oh, does he do the, he does the lines.
Oh, he loves it.
Oh, yeah.
Makes him happy.
You know what? That's how I do the yard, kind of, sort of. I do it with diagonal lines. And it, you know, I always appreciate Sherry likes mowing the lawn. We do it more or less 50-50, depending on who's busier at work at the time. But when she does the thing of just kind of going in a circle around it, or it's just kind of, you know, the horizontal lines instead, I just kind of like, you know,
it's, come it's on, not, Sherry, up your game.
It's not quite OCD, but I'm just tempted to go out there and just do it again and do it diagonally so I can have the lines just the way that I like them. But I don't.
If this Up North News thing doesn't work out for you, you can always be a groundskeeper.
I was going to say, I think Rob would hire both of us. I think we'd make a great crew. Thank you, Kristen. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning.
I can't wait. It's going to be so beautiful.
I know. Go Brewers. All right. We'll see you later. The Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, Saturdays at noon and wherever you get your podcasts across the Civic Media Radio Network. She's now on statewide. I mean, she's going to be on other networks and national things before you even know it. I just hope she remembers us then. Mike Clemens tells us more about the Brewers Cubs series coming up in a bit. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Are you interested in serving on a city committee? La Crosse's city government is currently looking for volunteers to serve on 8 different committees and boards, including the Redevelopment Authority, Police and Fire Commission, Neighborhood Revitalization Commission, Floodplain Advisory Committee, Housing Authority, Building and Housing Appeals Board, Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and Room Tax Commission. If you're interested, you can fill out an application on the City of La Crosse website. The City of La Crosse is holding public information and engagement sessions for its City Administrator Working Group. A proposed ordinance to add the position of City Administrator to the City of La Crosse will be decided upon by the La Crosse Common Council in February. The information sessions are being held on October 6th, October 8th, and October 14th. The proposed ordinance would add a City Administrator, which would take on some of the responsibilities of the Mayor's Office. The race for Wisconsin's governor continues to take shape as one new candidate is announced and another drops out. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Hughes has served as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation since 2019. She left her post about a week and a half ago, rumored to be entering the gubernatorial race. Here's how her first campaign ad begins.
I'm Missy Hughes. There are a few things you need to know about me.
Missy's a Democrat who understands the economy.
She spent years growing Wisconsin businesses.
And worked to strengthen main streets across Wisconsin. The biggest thing? I'm running for governor.
Hughes emphasizes her business background and says that is what sets her apart.
I spent 17 years as a dairy industry executive, growing Organic Valley to $1 billion in sales and keeping Wisconsin family farmers on their land.
She now joins a crowded field running for governor. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Thinking about heading to the theater this weekend? There is a nice variety of films headed to your local screen. What would Halloween season be without a ghost in the theaters? The ghost is Casper and compliments of a re-release from 1995 to commemorate the 30th anniversary of the mediocre film, which drew barely 50% fresh reviews, according to Rotten Tomatoes. Dwayne Johnson stars as UFC fighter Mark Kerr in The Smashing Machine, a historical drama that's pulling a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes. Bone Lake is a horror thriller that finds two couples spending a weekend sharing a lakeside home. The film is crushing with critics and currently pulling a 94% on the tomato meter. Good Boy follows canine hero Indy in this rated PG thriller that is also a critic's darling at 91%. It's hard to go wrong with a canine hero. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny, summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matnera. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No one knows.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome John Sabo from First Tee Wisconsin. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr drops by with fun music and great chat.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Oh, look what Parker found in the music library.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like the right day for it.
Exactly. It's a great day for it. Hopefully, it's going to be a great week for it.
Yes, we probably could play it all throughout next week, or at least half of next week, because hopefully it's a three-game sweep against the Cubs.
That's a good point.
You never know for sure. Let's bring in Mike Clemens to talk more about the series, the National League Division Series. It'll be the Brewers versus the Cubbies starting tomorrow afternoon, since the Cubs emerged from that wild card round with the San Diego Padres. Mike Clemens, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, that Cubs game last night, that's the first time the Cubs have ever had a go-home series like that. You know, they clinched a playoff series in the history of Wrigley Field. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
They went to a World Series in 45, and, you know, they won a World Series. But, you know, this was, you know, to win that final game and send the Padres home at the end of the season in this wild card series, first time that happened. And now, how many of those Cubs fans are going to be able to snag tickets and watch the Brewers and the Cubs go at it? The game first pitch is tomorrow at 1:08. It's going to be on television. Of course, we'll have it on the radio, but it's going to be on television on TBS or HBO Max. And I was joking with a guy at one of the workouts I covered the other day with the Brewers, because they've been working out at AmFam Field. I said, do you know why it's at 1:08? Because they figure it's going to take you 8 minutes to find the game on your cable.
Yes, I could totally see that being on TBS. You can catch the pregame on Civic Media starting at 12:35 tomorrow afternoon. And I was disappointed, but I totally understand that Brian Anderson, who calls games for TBS as well as for the Brewers, has been assigned to the Phillies Dodgers series. I suppose they can't have a home announcer doing the network broadcasts. But I also noted this week that BA is one of the finalists for the Ford Frick Award. For the Baseball Hall of Fame for broadcasters. Yeah. That's a pretty cool honor.
Oh, and he's grown so much since he got that Brewers job, right? I mean, he's calling the French Open this summer.
Yeah.
You know, so we're very lucky to have him. And, you know, I just think it's cool that he still figures, though, that, you know, his home base is at, you know, like Euchre. Like, he still loves calling Brewer games, but, you know, he'll branch off and do basketball and whatever sport that these networks bring him into. So, tomorrow it'll be Freddie Peralta on the mound. I don't think Brandon Woodruff's coming back. Murph is keeping that kind of a secret. So the number two pitcher on Monday night for Game 2 will probably be Quinn Priester, who had such a good summer. And then after that, I don't know. You know, I mean, the team that had that winning streak in August, they've been hurt, you know, in the bullpen. And just watching these games, all these games, you know, Red Sox and Yankees and the other ones in the series, this is the time you need, you know, the best pitching you've got. And I know that the Brewers had to spend a whole year sort of making things up as they go. Colin Ray, will he be able to come back, your closer? Because you want that veteran, you know, guy with ice water veins in these clutch situations in the playoffs. But it'll be Freddie, probably against, you know, the Cubs reporters. Craig Counsell postgame last night didn't say, but they think it's either going to be Javier Assad, who's got a 3.6 ERA, or former Brewer Colin Ray could be their starter tomorrow for Game 1 in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and by the way, game two on Monday, that's going to be a late game, late start, first pitch at 8:08 in the evening from American Family Field for game two of that National League Division Series. And I know what you mean about the injuries, because, again, one of the things that was so surprising about the Brewers, you know, when they had a rather slow start, we expected a slow start because the pitching core had been so banged up, and yet somehow cobbled together win after win after win, surprise after surprise from some of the other pitchers that were in there. But now it kind of feels like the pendulum has started to swing the other way. But I did notice yesterday in the Red Sox-Yankees game, the Boston pitcher, it was only his fifth major league start ever. Mm-hmm. And for the Yankees, I believe it was like his 15th major league start ever. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess we're just at that time of year where, yeah, you want the veteran pitcher, but you're going to have to rely on some of these younger pitchers to step up.
And this is where the managers earn their paycheck, right? I mean, for Murph to understand that the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, kind of flamed out there in terms of giving up hits. Guys sort of figured out some of his pitches, even though they're coming in at 101 miles an hour. And so now he's probably been demoted to a middle relief guy when they get into the situation. Murph did say the other day that their veteran Jose Quintana is looking good, and so at least he's planted that seed into his mind that in council's mind that they'll be looking at this. But I mean, I get done with you this morning and we pack up, we go down and we'll have a media session today. We'll talk to Murph and Yelich and the rest of the players. Then they'll have a 2-hour workout at the ballpark today. They've had this bye week. They'll be working out today from 3 to 5, taking BP, running the bases, working on some fundamentals to get warmed back up and back into some sort of a rhythm for tomorrow afternoon's game against the Chicago Cubs. It's going to be a great series. Also good for me because I got a Packer bye week, so I can cover baseball in Milwaukee this weekend. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
No, that is a great thing. And then, you know, there's so many other sports activities going on, not the least of which would be the Milwaukee Bucks, their season coming up before too much longer. And there was an open house media day this week. How did that go?
Well, you know, we walk in there, and it's like, because this would be the first chance to talk to Giannis since the playoffs. And where's Giannis? He's not here. What?
Oh, no.
he went to Greece this summer, right, to play for his nation, for his country in the European League. He tested positive for COVID the other day. So he's in quarantine. So now the Bucks had their initial practices with their new team. You know, and John Horst talked about, you know, do you realize, Pat, a year ago at this time, you're talking about a team with Giannis and Brooke Lopez. You're waiting for Chris Middleton to come back from double ankle surgery. And Damian Lillard, those guys are all gone. So, I mean, it's a new look to this team. Miles Turner brought in from the Pacers. Younger guys, you know, instead of being, you know, 35, the average age is maybe 26 or so. And that's the kind of team that they've gradually built over the past year. And that Doc Rivers, you know, admitted now, yeah, when I first got to Milwaukee, I told John, you guys are too old and too slow. I mean, we got to make changes here. They think they're going to do a contract with A.J. Green. They're working on him. But they've got 21 players in camp. They got to get that down to 15. They'll pick 3 alternates on the 2A. And this weekend they will have some practices in Miami. They've got their first preseason game against the Miami Heat. And Giannis will join them in Miami. Supposed to be flying in from Greece this weekend.
Okay, well, good. Hopefully he's recovered. Although, again, the NBA season lasts as long as it does. So I guess if you're going to get COVID, this is the
time. Now would be the time.
Better earlier than later. Yep, sure. This is when you got to do it. And especially with him having to work with a much less experienced team heading into the season. Well, we mentioned that the Packers have a bye week, and thank goodness, because, boy, if there's anything we need, Mike, it's even more time to dwell on a 40-40 tie against the Cowboys. I, of course, because of the early hours that I have, did not have to be exposed to that. I had to wake up to the news. Mm-hmm. The night owls, like you, had to catch every painful moment of it. And does the team, what's the ability to shake it off versus having that thing really bother them?
You know, first of all, you know, Dallas was overdue. The Packers have won every game they've played in that stadium. You know, they were 6-0 going, including a Super Bowl. So Dallas was overdue to get a win down there. The Packers, they went into that game losing two starters on their offensive line. And then they get into it, and it's noisy, and they've got some false start penalties. And then just before the half, you get Matt LaFleur being aggressive because it's still kind of a close game. And instead, they called for a passing play where he should have just run the ball and protected the football. Jordan Love gets strip sacked. Dallas scores two or three times just before the half to take a 16-13 lead. Then it goes back and forth. Now you get down to the final drive, and the Cowboys are up 40-37. And on a fourth and sixth, Jordan Love converts that to his rookie receiver, Matthew Golden, from his own 24-yard line. I'm thinking, oh, now this is it. This could be a great finish for the Packers to pull this one out because they're usually so good at the two-minute drill, except they get down into the red zone, and on a play that goes incomplete trying to hit Matthew Golden, the guys are kind of just standing around. I mean, they let the last 30 seconds slip by, and LaFleur takes responsibility at the end, but I think he's covering for his quarterback where they did not. I had two players, Pat, including Josh Jacobs, one on record that I sent you tape of, who said, I don't think all our guys knew we were supposed to be in two-minute offense. It's like right after the play, you have to run back and spot, you know, and listen for the cadence or this hand signal as to what the next play is. So fortunately, they got it down to 1 second before they were able to call a timeout and kick the tying field goal. But, yeah, there's going to be – they've done a lot of self-scouting this week as to how they need to clean up their operations when it gets to be the two-minute drill like that.
Well, I mean, especially it – look, I'm not one to be overcritical, but I can read a clock and know that, you know, there's never a good time within that last minute to be dogging it to getting back into the huddle or getting back on the line. And, you know, the degree to which, you know, they were confused about this, it's easy to blame LaFleur or Jordan Love, but it feels like a team-wide thing where they lacked some kind of a sense of urgency that I have a feeling it was really drilled into them during this week.
There was a preseason game, I think it was the Colts game, where it was just like before half or so, and LaFleur was just going nuts because he called a timeout, and I thought, oh, you know what, it's one of these guys not paying attention. They were supposed to be in there for a substitution. And I said, hey, what happened with that incident on that third and such and such? Because I wrote it down specifically. He knew what I was talking about. He says, time. I was trying to save us from getting a delay a game. So he was mad at the quarterback on that one. Like, dude, you know, you had 3 seconds left. We're going to get to delay a game here, and I've got to save you by calling a timeout. And, I think a little bit of that happened the other night as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, I was stunned by this because the Packers are generally, through the Aaron Rodgers era and now even under Jordan Love, one of the best two-minute teams in the league. I mean, it's almost like the McCarthy-Rodgers era passed that on to LaFleur because they've been very good. You watch some of these good teams that don't seem to know what the heck they're doing when it comes to the last 2 minutes of a game. And LaFleur drills this almost every other day. So it's something that, you know, that they have to work on, no doubt. Because, you know, remember, Aaron Rodgers eventually took control from McCarthy and said, I will run the offense with the last 2 minutes. Because there isn't time for you to get a play called in. Let me do it.
Right.
And they need to hand the keys over to Jordan Love in the same way. Let me call the plays. Let me, you know, be the general out there and decide if we're in the two-minute offense and what plays we're running next.
That's an excellent point. Got under a minute just to touch on the Badgers. Again, they really start running the gauntlet here, starting with tomorrow's game in Ann Arbor against Michigan.
Yeah. Michigan's ranked 20th. Badgers, they've got problems on the offensive line. I think Luke Fickell's still got a couple of guys that are going to be game-time decisions, and this is going to be brutal. I mean, that loss to Maryland was a real gut punch to them. You got, you know, Chris McIntosh, the athletic director, talking at a volleyball game to Mike McCarthy the day after that game. I mean, there's all kinds of red flags going on, so we'll see. The other thing is there was a stat from Wisconsin State Journal. The Badgers have given up more sacks in 4 weeks than they did all last year.
Oh, see, it's going to be a brutal stretch here, but Mike Clemens is going to follow it for us along with everything else. Mike, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you later.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
All right, we'll have some final news and notes coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Quitelow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Come see what's brewing.
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, you don't need me to tell you, but I will anyway. Brewers Cubs starting tomorrow, National League Division Series Game 1. Pregame begins at 12:35 on some of these stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And so poor Parker he's going to be going to see Whitewater play football because The WIAC conference opener games are happening this weekend. Then you got this going on. You have the Badger game going on. There's going to be so much for you to monitor at any single time here.
There is. It's going to be a very long Saturday. Sunday will be significantly lighter, which I'm very happy about, but like, can't we spread it out a little? Jeez.
Would be nice, but no, you get it all bunched up. Lucky you. Coming up on Matt and Air on Air, right after this fine program at 9:35, Jane and Greg are going to have Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin talking about apps that claim to pay you to play games on your phone. I see these all the time. Do you play any games on your phone right now?
Very
like
few,
words with friends or something like that. I mean, with other people,
not with other people on my phone. No.
Okay.
But I do some stuff.
Yeah. I've met, Sherry and I, we have a Boggle type game.
Oh, sure.
And we always have three games going at once of that. And then we have a couple of rounds of Words with Friends, which is like Scrabble. And of course you see commercials, in the game after your round and before they show you your score.
Yeah.
And so many of them are, what's it called? Royal Match, you know, this little king who's trapped in something and you better rescue him. But then occasionally you see these commercials where it's like, I got paid for playing solitaire. And I'm just thinking, who presses that button and says, oh yeah, that's totally what people do. They totally, they don't get played at all. They don't have to give a credit card number and then the charges never stop coming in. But apparently it does. And so Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau is going to talk about apps that claim to pay you. It's almost like there's a phrase, if it sounds too good to be true. What did you say?
Yeah, that sounds a little good, too good to be true. I'm very interested. I might have to give a listen to that. That's very interesting.
Yeah. And Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be joining Jane and Greg at about 10:06. So stay tuned for all of that for Matt and Air on Air. One story we hadn't gotten to yet today, and I don't even know how to get into this. Former Governor Tommy Thompson is considering running for governor. Now, keep in mind that folks were thinking that Joe Biden was getting too old to be president. He's 82. It's clear that Donald Trump is getting too old and cognitively impaired to be president, and he is 79. Tommy Thompson is 83, and the headline in the Journal Sentinel says that he is seriously considering making a run for governor next year. Molly Beck has the story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tommy was governor from 1987 to 2001 and said in the newspaper article and said in an interview on WTMJ, I am still looking at it and I'm seriously looking at it. So that's what goes into it, but no decision has been made, but it's certainly something that isn't too far removed from my brain. Thompson did not return a call from the Journal Sentinel. Earlier this year, Thompson downplayed the idea to the Journal Sentinel, but said that he's in great shape. If elected, Thompson would be 85 when he would take office in January of 2027. And by the way, yeah, it does feel weird for me to say if elected, Thompson would be 85, because nobody says Thompson, it's Tommy. You know, imagine being so well known that as a politician that you only know by the first name. And that's Tommy. I remember meeting him when he was running for governor the first time, which was 1986. And at that point, he had been the Republican leader in the state assembly for a number of years. And back then, he had the nickname Dr. No, because he would just, you know, refuse to compromise with Democrats when it came to working on legislation. He was seen as a real obstruction at times. But then he ran for governor. He unseated Democrat Tony Earl. And at that point began the first of four times being elected to office and shedding some of that Dr. No reputation. Now, he's still a Republican through and through, but also worked on various things that did end up having, you know, bipartisan support. For example, the bill that led to what we now call American Family Field for the Brewers. And I think most notably of expanding Highway 29 to four lanes. I've said previously, there ought to be a statue of Tommy Thompson somewhere along Highway 29 to celebrate, you know, the ability to not call that stretch of highway Bloody 29 anymore. But that was then. And I appreciate that Tommy is still interested and still thinks that he could put forward a good race. And you know what? If he gets in, well, good luck to him. God bless. But it was not the headline that I was expecting to see today, that Tommy Thompson is looking at running for governor once again. Well, Parker, I think we got to wrap things up here from Nashville, which also means my daily complaint about the lack of a coffee maker in this hotel room. Yeah. But I did find time before the show today to go get coffee down in the lobby.
I was going to say, you had a lot more pep today than
yesterday. Do not recommend.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I got the coffee in there, but yeah, it's... Thankfully, Sherry was able to bring me something from a nearby coffee shop, but only after fighting the crowds. There was a big Taylor Swift event here in Nashville celebrating the Life of a Showgirl album dropping. So yeah, before 6 o'clock this morning, there was this big crowd celebrating the album. That's iconic, you know?
I think that crowd was there
before midnight. I think that that was residual.
Oh, yes.
I don't think they got there at like 5:30. I think they've been there since like 10.
You think they'd been there 10. Partying all yeah. night, listening to Taylor and singing to the albums. You know what? You're right. That makes total sense. And I'm willing to bet you that most of them are well asleep by now, but that a couple of them are now listening to the album for the fifth time.
And still crying their eyes out.
And still, or bebopping. There's some, as Travis Kelce likes to say, there's some real bangers on that album. So that was our big overnight news from here in Nashville. Parker, have a good weekend. Take care of yourself with all those sports tomorrow. Don't overdo it.
Oh, I'll try. Happy travels. Have a good time. Have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and I'll see you from Dallas as the travels continue. Have a great weekend. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is still shut down. President Trump just posting an AI-generated video depicting the budget director as the Grim Reaper as the administration threatens mass firings for furloughed federal workers. Music mogul Sean Diddy Combs due in a New York courtroom shortly for his sentencing on prostitution-related charges. ABC's Aaron Katursky's outside the courthouse.
Combs has been in jail for more than a year, and his team says that time spent behind bars has been life-changing, filled with reading books, writing, working out or in therapy, and getting sober. He has also been teaching a six-week class to fellow inmates called Free Game about becoming an entrepreneur. The theme of one class, you